Okay, we begin here on the bottom of Yud Amud Bet by the two dots. We left off yesterday discussing Rabbi Eliezer's opinion with regards to how closely associated an Hashem and a Chatat are. Rabbi Eliezer thought that an Hashem could not be associated with the Chatat with regards to the Netinat Dam because there's a Miut of Otah, HaMechateh Otah, that told us that only the Dam Chatat goes L'mala Ala Karnot, but with regards to an Hashem, that is not true. But in other areas, Rabbi Eliezer believed that an Hashem was just like a Chatat, and one of those is the Pasuk that we find in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Gimel in Vayikra, which is, Chol Chatat, Asher Yuva Midama Elo Moed, the Chaper Bakodesh, Lo Teachel, Ve'esh Tisarech. If the Dam of any Chatat is brought into the Heichal, and again, the Pashtuta Pasuk is that it's speaking about Korbanot that are supposed to be brought into the Heichal. Those are, again, Par V'Seir Shal Yom HaKippurim, Par Ham Dover Shal Tzibur, the Seir of the Tzibur, Be'avod Zarah, the Par Kohen Mashiach. All of those, the requirement is that they are Nisraf, they're not eaten. But the Gemara also darshans from that if a Chatat, which wasn't supposed to end up in the Eichal, if its dam is taken into the Eichal, then Ba'ish Tisareh, then it's burnt and it becomes Pasul. On that, Rabbi Eliezer said that Hashem is like a Chatat, because Rabbi Eliezer believes for many things, kachatat kasham, that Hashem has the same din as a chatat, and this is one of those issues where he says that, and if Hashem's dam was taken into the Eichal, it also would be pasul and ba'esh tisareif. So that's what we're discussing now. And that is tnan ha'otam. We have a mishnah, shayir Rabbi Kiva omer, kol damim shenichnesu le'eichal lechaper, psulim. So Rabbi Kiva has the broadest view here, which is that any dam that goes into the Eichal becomes pasul for any korban. Chamim armim chatat bilvad. Chamim, read the pasul kipshuto, which says v'chol chatat. Any chatat that is brought into the heichal, that is pasul. Rabbi Eliezer omer af ha'asham. Rabbi Eliezer says, even the asham has the same thing as a chatat, akin to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in our Mishnah, where he says that an asham has the same thing as a chatat. Shenemer ka'chatat ka'asham. That the Chatat and the Hashem are compared to each other, have a hekesh between them. Bishlama Rabbi Eliezer kidehamar taimo. Rabbi Eliezer explains the reasoning behind his position, which is kachatat kasham. Ela rabbonon my taimo. What's the reasoning behind the rabbonon's position? Samarova, Hashem nichnas tamod ifnim pasul, lo matzid amart. You can't say that an Hashem whose dam is brought into that area is pasul. Kal v'chomer me'ola. Because you have a kal v'chomer from an olah, ma olah shi kalil, an olah which goes totally onto the mizbeach, nichnas dama lifnim kshera. If its dam is taken into the eichal, it is kshera. Even Rabbi Eliezer agrees to that point. Rabbi Akiva will disagree because Rabbi Akiva thinks any korban that ends up in there is problematic. But at least Rabbi Eliezer agrees that if you take an olah into the eichal, it would have no impact. Hashem she'inu kalil lo koshekein, and Hashem was not totally put on the mizbeach. There certainly, it should not be problematic if its dam is brought into the Heichal. And as Tosafot points out over here, you can't say Chatat Tochiach, that the Chatotat, which is not Kalil, will show you that that's the case, because Chatat has a number of Chumrot associated with it vis-a-vis in Hashem, because you can say Malachatat, Shekein Damalamala, Shekein Sad Karet, Shekein Baavet Sibur. These are all Chumrot, by the case of Chatat, that are not applicable to an Hashem. So Chatat won't help you out in this case. So, mal ola shekein eina mechaperet. Wait a minute. An ola is not mechaper. Maybe the reason that an ola is not problematic is because it's not bringing kapara. It says, v'chol chatat, asher yuvat, midama ol moed, lechaper bakodesh, lo teachel v'esh tisareif. An ola is not mechaper, therefore it's not governed by the pasuk. And Hashem, which is mechaper, maybe it should be governed by the pasuk. Minchat chotet tochiach. The mincha of a chote will prove that wrong. Minchat chote is the dalei dalut, is the lowest level of a korban oleh v'yoreid. Korban oleh v'yoreid, at the highest level is a behema, the middle level is birds, and then at the lowest level is a mincha. That mincha is a minchat chote, because it's a mincha that is brought for someone who is done a chet. In general, minachot are brought as a nidava, or they're brought along with another korban as a minchat nisachim. But a mincha chote is much rarer, and here it happens to be, by the korban oleh v'yoreid, the lowest level, dalei dalut, is bringing a minchat chote. So minchat chote, which is brought for kapara, is not pasul when you take it inside of the heichal. Now the Havamina here itself is strange because the Minchat Chote is not dumb. So why should it be that you would even think that when you take it into the Heichal that it should be Pasul? There should be no parallel at all. I mean, just because Minchat Chote is taken in there, a lot of things can be taken in there and they don't have any impact. Why does it matter about Minchat Chote? What you have to suggest over here, and Rashi says it later on about another topic that we're speaking about, and it's brought explicitly in the Gemara Minachot, is that there's a parallel drawn between a mincha and the behema, a zevach. And that is the processing of a zevach has four major stages, as we've spoken about until now, which is you have shechita, kabbalah, holacha, and zrikat adam. In parallel, when it comes to a mincha, you have the same thing, which is hukash, the zvachim for the arba avodot, kmitza, the taking of the kmitza off of the mincha, which is the what you have to separate away from the mincha and put on the mizbeach. That separation is equivalent of shechita. It's cutting or breaking away something. Then the matan komets l'klei sharet. You take the komets and put it into a utensil then. That's the equivalent of kabbalat adam. Holacha is the same as holacha. And zrikat adam is equivalent to haktarat komets on the mizbeach. So because of that parallel, you might have thought that taking the komets into the echal has the same din as the dam of a korban, because in a sense, they are equivalent. And so that's what you have to say over here, is that a minchat chote might have been governed by the pasuk, not because it has any dam, but simply because the komets of the mincha is paralleled to the dam of the zevach. And for that reason, the Gemara says, all right, minchat chote tochiah, that even though it's brought for kapara, it's still not pasul when it's brought into the echal. Belema chatata of tochiah. Wait a minute, why don't you use chatata of as the offset? Because that would be much better. Chatat Of at least has dam associated with it. And if you bring the Chatat Of into the Eichal, maybe that would be the proof that you're looking for. Because then you see something that brings Kapara, which the Olah doesn't have. And that would make it akin to the Asham. Chatat Of is brought the Kapara. And that would offset the aspect of the Olah that doesn't have Kapara. And you would see that even though you have kapara associated with you, that doesn't change the fact that bringing it into the heichal is not problematic. Chatat of baya de Rabbi Avinhi. Chatat of is already a question that we're going to get to on Daf Tzadi Bet Amud Bet, which is the question as to whether when you take the chatat of into the heichal, is that problematic? Does that posel the chatat of? And we leave that as an unresolved issue. So to bring that as a proof over here would not be possible because we don't even know if it's true, whether it is or isn't pasul. Much of it revolves around the question of what is the status of a chatat ov. As opposed to the cases by zevach, the dam is nitkabel betoch kli. You accept the blood into the kli, and then the dam being taken into the echal means you take it in the kli to the echal. On the other hand, the way that the chatat ov is done is the mitzui adam is done directly from the bird itself. So the question is, if you take the bird in while the blood is still in the bird, is that the equivalent of taking it in a kli sharet? Is that the equivalent of taking it in while it's in a vessel, and therefore it's problematic? Or is this not even dam at this point in time, because it's still absorbed within the bird, and therefore it's not classified as dam yet, because it hasn't exited the bird? So that's the question that will arise over there, but you can't bring any proof from there, because of the fact that we just don't know whether if you take the dam of the chatat of into the echal, whether it has any effect. The lifroch, why don't you undermine this and say, ma le minchat chote shekein eina min zevach. That's not a korban behema, so maybe you can't prove anything from that. Ola tochiah. That ola will offset. V'chazer adin. Lo reizek reizev, lo reizek reizev. You don't have the same chumrot. Ola is kalil. Minchat chote is not kalil. An ola is not mechaper. A minchat chote is mechaper. Minchat chote is not a zevach behema. An ola is a zevach behema. The common denominator between them is that tzadah sheveh sheben shein kodshei kodashim. They are on the level of kodshei kodashim. V'nichnas daman lifnim sherim. And if their dam is taken into the heichal, it is kasher. Afani av yasham shu kodesh kodashim. Same will have application by the yasham, which is also kodesh kodashim. It's only eaten for one day and one night. It has to be shechted b'tzafon. That's all the dinim of kodshei kodashim. Nichnas tamo lifnim kasher. Therefore, when its blood is taken in, it should be kasher. So that would be the position of the chachamim as to why they think an asham does not have the din if its blood is brought into the echal, that it is pasul. Amarle rova mi barnish, the Rav Ashi. Rabbi Anish asked Rabashi, Velifroch, Mala Tarashaveshaven, Shkenin Lahem Kitzva. Wait a minute. There is an aspect of these two korbanot which don't apply to Hashem, and that would be problematic because maybe it's that unique status that allows it to remain kasher when it enters into the Eichal. And that is the fact that there is no budgetary restraint on a Minchat Koteh, nor on an Olah. Neither of them have any guidance from the Torah as to how much it has to cost. Whereas, Tomar Basham, Sheish Lo Kitzva, Hashem, on the other hand, has a budgetary requirement in the Torah, being at least Sheish Shekel Kesef. And therefore, maybe it has a Chumrah associated, which is what makes it Pasul when you take the Dam, Blifnim. Elohainu Tamayu Durabanan. Damar Akra, Dama. So here, the Rabbanan say that there's a Miut in the Pasuk, which is, Kol Chadat, Asher Yuvah Midama. El omoe, the chaper begodesh, lo teachel beish tisareif, that mi dama, dama shel zo, lo dama shel acher. Dama chatat is what this pasuk has application to. Nothing else. It's a miut. Dama, and nobody else's dam has this effect. Beidach, what's Rabbi Eliezer going to do with that? Dama. Dama, velo bisara. He needs that to teach us. The dam is problematic, but if the basar of the korban chatat entered into the echal, it would have no impact. So only if the blood is brought into the Eichal does that disqualify this Korban and posel the Korban. And therefore, Ba'esh Tisarei. The other hand, if the Basar is taken into the Eichal, has no impact whatsoever. Vidach, what do the Chachamim do in order to exclude Basar? Dam, Dama. They see this as being two Miutim over here. The first Miut being Dam, and then the second one being Dama, the extra hay that is put there. Vidach, and Rabbi Lezer says, Dam, dama, lo darish. That's not a significant difference that you would want to be doreshit. And as Rashi points out over here, you need the word dam in the pasuk. You couldn't say that any chatat that is brought to the ol moed is pasul because you have to write dam in order to tell you that that's what is posel over here. The ishech mechidev dam, the mute basar. And therefore, orche dekra dichtev mi dama. Because if then if you're going to write it, you need to write it in a grammatically correct way, and that is v'chol chatat, which is nekeva, asher yuva midama adam shela. So that would be the right way to write it. You can't take any significance out of the fact that it wrote dama, because the hey was necessary. It's dam shela. That's the grammatically correct way to write it, and that's not significant. Chamim, on the other hand, say you could have written dam. The fact that it wrote dama gives you an extra miut over there. So for the Chachamim, you have two miutim. One miut to tell you that dam and not basar. The other one to tell you dam chatat and dam of no other korban. Whereas Rabbi Lezer only has one miut, which is dam and not basar. But other than that, there's no miut, and therefore he can have an asham be included. Bishlam ol rabbanon dam rei asham shishachato shelo lishmo kasher. Hainu deitkish mincha lechatat. Mincha the asham. So then it makes sense that the mincha is compared to a chatat and an asham. That goes back to the pasuk that we discussed yesterday, which is in Perek Vav, pasuk Yud in Vayikra, lo te'afech chametz, kalkam natati otam ishai, kodesh kodeshim hi, kachatat v'cha asham. That is in the parshia dealing with the processing of a mincha. And at the end of it says that the mincha is like a chatat and like an asham. Why does it compare mincha both to a chatat and to an asham? So that's the answer that the chamim are giving, which is the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kodesh kodeshim hi kachatat v'cha asham. Minchat choteh harei hi kechatat. The minchat choteh has the same din as a chatat. The fikach kamtza shelo lishma. If you take up the komets with the wrong thought, shinui kodesh, then psula. It is problematic. Minchat nedava harei hi kechatat. On the other hand, a voluntary mincha has a din like an asham. Leficha kamtza shelo lishma. If you take it off, lo the shame that mincha nedava kshera, because it's not a korban chatat. So in essence, you have two different tracks for the mincha. You have a minchat choteh, which is an obligatory mincha, and then you have a minchat nedava, which is a voluntary mincha. And what the chamim say is that's exactly the difference that's being drawn by kachatat v'cha asham. That the mincha is like a chatat when it is a minchat choteh, obligatory mincha, has the same dinim as a chatat. And if you have the wrong makshava there, it's going to have the same impact like having the wrong makshava by a chatat. On the other hand, if you bring a minchat nedava, that's more akin to like an olah, And therefore, if you have a minchat nedava, it's compared to an asham. And therefore, if you have the wrong makshava, you have lo lishma with regards to that mincha, it won't be problematic, because just like an olah or any other voluntary offering is not problematic when you have lo lishma, so too with regards to the minchat nidava. The question you're asking is, well, a minchat nidava, why are you comparing it to an asham? It's a voluntary offering, and a voluntary offering comes as olah or comes as a shlamim. Why would you compare it to an asham? The answer to that is that a mincha has a din of being kodesh kodoshim. So therefore, you can't compare it to an olah, because an olah goes kalil amizbeach. Can't compare it to a shlamim, because shlamim are kodshim kalim. So I've told you before that an asham is very similar to a shlamim, with the exception of the fact that it's kodshei kodoshim. So that's what it does. It compares the minchat nidava to an asham, because the asham is kodesh kodoshim, and so that'll be the similar akin to the mincha. And also has the dinim like a shlamim, where lo lishma doesn't impact, and all the other dinim, and that's why you would compare it to an asham. Ella the Rabbi Eliezer, my hilchato itkish mincha lechatat umincha leasham. According to Rabbi Eliezer, both makshava by chatat and makshava by an asham, if you do a lo lishma or lo lishmo, problematic. So then comparing a mincha to a chatat and asham doesn't give you any differentiation. And so then why does the pasuk go out of its way to compare it to a chatat and asham? L'chei idach to Rabbi Shimon. That's for the other limud of Rabbi Shimon. It's non, shelo b'klei sharet, psula. If you do it without a klei sharet, it is pasul. Rabbi Shimon, machshir. Rabbi Shimon says it's fine. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda, b'rei Rabbi Chiya, my time with the Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon think you can do this without a klei sharet? Amar kra, kodesh kodoshim hi. Kachatat v'chasham. That's the pasuk that we're quoting with regards to the mincha. Baal ovda b'yad, ovda b'yamin, kechatat. If you want to do the haktara of the mincha with your hand and not involve a klei sharet, you're open to that, because then you'll function like a chatat. B'kli, if you want to do it inside of a utensil, ovda b'small, kechasham. Then you can do it even in your left hand like an asham. So here you have a distinction that's being made in the processing of the avoda. Now this is Rabbi Shimon the Shitato, as opposed to the Chachamim. We'll get to this later on in the Masechta. Rabbi Shimon believes that the Torah only prescribes that you do the avoda with your right hand if the Torah gives you both the word etzba, to tell you that that's the item that you're using, and it has kohen. The word kohen and etzba, you need both items to be written in order for you to demand that it be done with the right hand. And the limud is from Mitzora, where we find that you have both etzba and you have kohen. So by a chatat, you actually have that. You have in the chatat the requirement that the matan dam be done by the etzba, and you have the word kohen that appears. And therefore we learn from that that you do your avoda be yamin. That when it comes to the chatat, everything must be done with the right hand of the kohen. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Shimon, with any other korban, you can work with your left hand, and you'll be totally fine. Not only your right hand, even your left hand, and you'll be fine, because the other korbanot don't have both words found in them. They might have kohen found there, but they don't have etzba found there. And he says, based on that, the other korbanot can be done with their left hand. Given that, now the differentiation between a chatat and an asham is that a chatat must be done with the right hand of the kohen. The asham can be done even with the left hand of the kohen. So now the other requirement is that b'chatat can be done with your physical hand. You have to do the matan dam by dipping your finger into the blood and placing it on the karnol tamizbeach. The other hand, by the asham, you do zrikat adam. You do out of a kli, and then you basically toss the dam towards the corner of the mizbeach to do shtayim shein arba. So that's another distinction between a chatat, which is done with the etzba of the kohen, versus the asham that is done through a kli. And that's what he's saying now. You have two ways of processing a mincha. You can choose. You can have a mincha that's processed by doing biyad, which means that when you take off the kometz, instead of placing it into a klei sharet, you'll just keep it in your right hand. And you'll walk it to the mizbeach, and then you'll place it on the mizbeach. And in that way, it's kasheri. You have to do that all with your right hand, and that will be fine. That's kachatat. On the other hand, there's another way to process the mincha, which is that you place the kometz into a klei sharet. Instead of holding it in your hand, after you've separated, you put it into a klei sharet. That you can do, and that you can even do with your left hand, because it's not governed by the requirement of etzba and kohen, and by others, vachim, like in asham, Rabbi Shimon doesn't require the right hand. So you can even do it with your left hand, but you can put it into the kli sharet, take it to the mizbeach, and then place it onto the mizbeach by tipping over the kli onto the pyre, and that'll be the haktarat hakometz. So what he's doing is offering you two avenues for two possible ways to process the mincha. One with your hand, which would have to be done by the right, and one with the kli, but that could even be done with your left hand. Rabbi Shimon, haikra, mapik lei lahochi, umapik lei lahochi. Wait a minute. Rabbi Shimon, you just brought two drushot from Rabbi Shimon, kachatat v'chasham, and he tells you in one case, it's correlated with the minchat koteh versus the minchat nidava. In the next case, he tells you it's correlated with how you process the mincha. How does he learn two things out of the same pasuk of kachatat v'chasham? Ikar kra, the kra of Yehuda, b'reid Rabbi Chiyahu, da'ato. The major limud comes from the latter of the two that we brought over here, which is the processing of the korban, comes to teach you that, kachatat v'chasham. Minchat koteh, the psula, shlo lishma. The reason that a minchat koteh is psula, when you do it, lo l'shem, the korban, meaning you do it with the wrong thought, is taimachrinahu. It's really for a different reason. Chatat, taimamai. What's the reason that a chatat is psula? Chatat, shlo lishma, is psula. Dichtiv bahi, because the pasuk says he, it really says chatat hu, as we've noted before, by the seir of the nasi. Minchat koteh, namiktiv bahi. It says the same thing over here by the minchat koteh, which says ve'vi al kohen ve'kamatz kohen mimenu malokum zod azkarata v'gdira mizbeach al ishei Hashem chatat hi, that it is therefore an exclusive term and it must be done lishma. That's what makes it that it's pasul when you do it shlo lishma. U'l'rabbana namai hilchotai itkish Hashem lechatat. The din about why it compares a minchat to a chatat and a minchat to Hashem, that we already developed, that it is Rabbi Shimon's din, that you have two different ways to process the mincha. And now we have left over the question for the Rabbonon is, why is there a hekesh between Hashem and a chatat? According to Rabbi Eliezer, the hekesh makes it that the Hashem functions like a chatat in many places. That's why they're juxtaposed in the pasuk, to teach you that the Hashem has the same din as a chatat. So then, what is the hekesh between chatat and Hashem for the Rabbonon? Lomar lacha, ma chatat tunas micha, Afasham ta'un smicha. The teacher, just like a chatat requires smicha, so too an Hasham requires smicha. So the hekesh is there to teach you one din with regards to the Hasham that is similar to a chatat, but not in a general sense that it is always similar to the chatat. And again, we brought reasons along the way for the chachamim as to why they think that an Hasham does not have the same din as a chatat because of dama and not dam of the Hasham. By the case of the damim lamala and not the mato, there you have the miut of a mechateh uta. And then with regards to the loli shema, you also have a miut which is v'shachat uta. Uta has a din of lishma, and nothing else has a din of lishma. Or, we saw before that you had the hu that appeared by the chatat, and we had the hu that appeared by the pesach, but there's no hu that appears by the Hasham to say that it is me'akev. For all those reasons, the Chachamim say that an Hasham is not compared to a Chatat in all these different areas. But with one area, they are compared together, and that's with the issue of Smicha. Okay, now we're back to our Mishnah. Yossi ben Choni omer nishkatim. Yossi ben Choni is of the opinion in our Mishnah that not only is a Pesach and a Chatat that are done shelo lishman psulin, any other Korban that is brought the same Pesach or the same Chatat is also Pasul. So until now we've assumed that if you bring a chatat shlo lishma, it's problematic. But if you bring an ola, shlo lishma means you bring an ola l'shem chatat, that's fine, because that's lo lishma by an ola. What Yosef ben Choni adds is that the lo lishma by ola, if you make it into a chatat in the lo lishma, that's problematic. So the same way that a chatat, lo lishma is problematic, any other korban, the shem chatat, is also problematic. And similarly with the Korban at Pesach. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Yosef ben Choni, Rabbi Eliezer, Amru Devar Achad. They have the same opinion. Rabba Amar, Be'achirim L'Shem Chatat, Plige. So here, there's a question in the Girsa as to whether Rabba is arguing on Rabbi Yochanan. That's the way that Rashi reads it, and that's the way the Pashtut of Gemara reads, which is that Rabbi Yochanan says they both agree completely. Yosef ben Choni and Rabbi Eliezer have exact same opinion, whereas Rabba says they have the same opinion with regards to the Pesach. They do not have the same opinion with regards to the Chatat. But on the Amud Bet, there is a Tosafot that the Rabbeinu Dan brings an alternate girsa over here, which is Rabba Amar. ube'acherim l'shem chatat plige. So that Vava Chibur means that he's really being mefarish, the position of Rabbi Yochanan, rather than arguing on the position of Rabbi Yochanan. So that alternate girsa that the Rabbeinu Tam brings would then solve a little bit of a question, which we're going to see that comes up from the Braita. Ditanya, we have a Braita. Now, if you believe that Rabba is being mefarish Rabbi Yochanan, then Ditanya is being brought by Rabba to back up his position over here to show you that they argue by Chatat. On the other hand, if you believe that they're arguing, Rashi claims over here that Tanya is not brought by Rabba, but rather by the Gemara, it's going to show you that in the Braita you can find Rabbi Yochanan's position, and later on in that Braita you also find Rabba's position, and that's why they're arguing about it. Tanya, a Pesach she'avra shnato. You have a Pesach that aged out. It's beyond a year now, and it can't be brought in the Mizbeach because it's too old. B'shachato bizmano lishmo. And you shecht it on Erev Pesach, the 14th in the afternoon, that's Bizmano, and he shechted l'shem Pesach. V'chein, ha-shochet acherim l'shem Pesach Bizmano. And similarly, if you shecht any other korban on the 14th in the afternoon, l'shem Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer posel. Rabbi Eliezer says they are pasul. Here you see that Rabbi Eliezer has the same position as Yosef and Choni, because he's telling you that any korban that has brought l'shem Pesach on Pesach ben Arabayim is problematic. And Rashi on the Mishnah already noted that even Rabbi Yosef ben Choni agrees that it's only if you bring another Korban, the Shem Pesach, on the 14th in the afternoon that it is Pasul. The rest of the year, if you have in mind to bring it at Pesach, that will have no impact. Rabbi Yeshua Makshir, Rabbi Yeshua says that you bring another Korbanot, the Shem of Pesach, even on the 14th in the afternoon, has no impact. I'm Rabbi Yeshua. In Bishar Yemot Hashana, in the rest of the year, she'enu kasher lishmo, where it's not kasher when you bring it l'shem Pesach, acherim kasherim lishmo, but if you bring other korbanot l'shem Pesach, they are kasherim, bizmano, in the time period when the Pesach is kasher, she'enu kasher lishmo, if you brought the korban of Pesach and did it lishmo, which is what you were supposed to be doing, it would work, enu din she'echshu acherim lishmo, then certainly other korbanot using the shem of Pesach, I mean they were done Shaloli Shman, the Shem Pesach should be Kasherim. So what Rabbi Yeshua points out is, in the remainder of the year, a Pesach Lishmo is Pasul. Yet, if you bring another Korban, the Shem of Pesach, that is Kasher, because it's not the Zman of Pesach, and that Lodi Shmo does not ruin another Korban. So if you brought an Ola, the Shem Pesach, the rest of the year, it'd be a Kosher Korban. You bring a Pesach, the Shem Pesach, the rest of the year, that is problematic, because you're bringing it outside of the allotted time, when you're supposed to bring a korban at Pesach, and that is pasul. So he says, well then, during the period when you're allowed to bring the korban at Pesach, and you do a Pesach l'shmo, it is kasher, that certainly other korbanot, l'shem of Pesach, should also be kasherim. Amar lo Rabbi Lezer, o chiluf tvarim, who says your logic is right, I can bring the same logic just in the opposite direction. Uma im bishar yimot hashana, she'enu kasher l'shmo, in the remainder of the year, if you bring a Pesach lishmo, it is problematic. Kasher hu, l'shem acherim. But if you brought a korban of Pesach in the remainder of the year for any other korban besides a Pesach, it would be fine. Bizmano, shu kasher lishmo. During the time period when you're supposed to bring the korban of Pesach, if you bring l'shem of Pesach, enu din yukshar l'shem acherim, then certainly the Pesach should also be kasher for other korbanot. Yukshar Pesach barbasar shlo lishmo. And then you'll end up with a din that on the 14th, Ben Arabayim, when you bring a Pesach Shelo Lishmo, it is kasher, which we know is not true. So if I can extend your logic, I can reword the logic to get to a point where you get to an absurdity, which is that you'll end up with a Pesach on Bar Basar, Ben Arabayim, when it's supposed to be brought. If you bring it Shelo Lishmo, it'd be kasher, even though we know the din is that it is not kasher. And that's by saying, if I take a Pesach in the remainder of the year, and I bring it the same Pesach Pasul, a Pesach in the remainder of the year, I bring it to Mishem any other Korban, Kasher. So now I come to Erev Pesach Ben Arabayim, and I bring a Pesach, Lashem Pesach, Kasher. Then certainly a Pesach, Lashem Acherim, should be Kasher then. And then you end up with that absurdity that the Pesach Shelo Lishmo would be Kasher. And we know that's not true. V'kach ata omer. And this is what you want to say. Mali Hukshu Acherim B'Shar Yimot Hashana Lishmo. What's the difference between other Korbanot the rest of the year, when they brought the Shem of Pesach to their Sherim, Shkein Hu Kasher, the Shem Acherim? That's because a korban pesach that's brought the same other korbanot is also kasher. Ve'yuchshu acherim v'zmano lishmo, shekein hu pasol l'shem acherim. So then why would you say at the time of the korban pesach, where pesach l'shem other korbanot is pasol, then other korbanot l'shem pesach should also be pasol. So what Rabbi Eliezer does is in two stages shows that Rabbi Yeshua, that his logic is improper. Rabbi Yeshua, through his logic, wanted to suggest that a korban that is brought to Shem Pesach, the Zman Pesach, is kosher. He wanted to do that based on the remainder of the year. In the remainder of the year, if you have a Pesach that is brought to Shem Pesach, pasul. Acharim that are brought to Shem Pesach are ksherim. So too, you should say on Erev Pesach, Ben Arbayim, when the Pesach Lishmo is kosher, then certainly other korbanot to Shem Pesach should be ksherim. But Elazar says you can flip that logic and go the other direction and end up with something that's absurd. You can say in the remainder of the year a Pesach Lishmo is pasul, but a Pesach Lishem Acherim is kasher. Then a Pesach on Erev Pesach, when it's brought to Shem Pesach, it's kasher. Then certainly if the Pesach Lishem Acherim should be kasher. And then you'd end up with a case where a Pesach Shelo Lishmo would be kasher. So that can't be the logic behind it. Now you're going to ask me, what's the difference? Why are other korbanot, l'shem Pesach, the remainder of the year, kasher? And then when you bring acherim, l'shem Pesach, on Erev Pesach, ben Arbayim, that it is problematic. Why would you make such a distinction? That is because, in the remainder of the year, a Pesach, l'shem other korbanot, is kasher. Just like the Pesach, l'shem other korbanot, is kasher, so too the korbanot, l'shem Pesach, are ksherim. On Erev Pesach, where a Pesach, l'shem other korbanot, is pasol, because that's lo lishmo, so too, acherim, the Shema Pesach, would also be psulim. And that will explain the logic behind what I am saying. Now, Rashi points out over here, Umiocha diek Rabbi Yochanan Miltei. This is the source of Rabbi Yochanan's position, that Rabbi Eliezer agrees fully with Yosef ben Choni. And that is because the reasoning behind Rabbi Eliezer's position is, that time of Rabbi Eliezer, Mishum du pasul the Shema acherim. Just like the Korban Pesach, the shame other korbanot is problematic. So too other korbanot, the shame Pesach, is also problematic. And similarly, you could give that same logic to a chatat. Just like a chatat is pasul for other korbanot, because you do a lo lishma, it's pasul. So too, when you do other korbanot, the shame chatat, it should be psulim. In that way, he says that logic carries through to a chatat. And that is the source of Rabbi Yochanan's position, that he thinks that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Yosef ben Choni across the board, both by Pesach and by a chatat. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, imkein horata koach pesach, natata koach bishlamim. In that way, you downgraded the power of a pesach, and you put more power in the shlamim. So for the remainder of the year, if you take a korban pesach and bring in the shem shlamim, which is the zman of the shlamim, that works. On the other hand, if you come to erev pesach ben arbayim, where it's the zman of pesach, if you shech shlamim, the shem pesach, doesn't work. That means that the Shlamim have more power than the Pesach. And we would have expected it to be the opposite, which is we expect the Pesach to have more power than the Shlamim, in the sense that it shouldn't be posel the Korban. Tosafot says, Bizman Shlamim, Pesach, L'shem Shlamim, Kasher. Ve'ilu Bizman Pesach, Shlamim, L'shem Pesach, Psulim. Valo yesh pasuk bePesach, Lifsol shlo lishmo. Ve'ilu B'Shlamim, ain pasuk. By Pesach itself, there's a specific pasuk that tells you that it is pasul, meaning at the time that you bring the korban of Pesach and you do it shlo lishmo, that's why it's pasul. Shlamim, where do you ever have a pasul that tells you that it's the shem Pesach, it's going to be pasul, or shlo lishmo should be pasul? Where do you ever have such a concept? And therefore now you've strengthened the shlamim to the point where it's going to be affected by the shmo in the time period of the Pesach, as opposed to the Pesach, which is not affected in the time period of the shlamim. But now, Chazer Rabbi Eliezer, Badanu Din Acher. Eliezer backs away from the limud before, because Rabbi Yeshua criticized that limud in saying that now you've strengthened the shlamim in a place where the Pesach is much weaker. You have here now a Pesach, the remainder of the year, and the time of the shlamim is always kosher. And now you have the case where the shlamim in the zman of the Pesach is pasul. And we would expect it that the Pesach, which has a din of lo lishmo, should have had a higher standard, not the other way around, where the Shlamim is being affected by the Pesach, and the Pesach is not being affected by the Shlamim. So Gemara tries a different effect, which is, Matzinu motar Pesach b'Shlamim. Excess Pesach, a leftover Pesach, is brought as a Shlamim. Vein motar Shlamim b'Pesach. On the other hand, a leftover Shlamim is not brought as a Pesach. Uma Pesach Shemotro Bashlamim. By a Pesach where its excess or leftovers brought as a Shlamim. Shachato Bizmano L'shum Shlamim Pasul. If you shech the Korban a Pesach in the Zman of Pesach L'shem Shlamim, which is basically Lo L'shmo, it is Pasul. Shlamim She'ein Motran Ba Pesach. Shlamim that don't have any leftover that's brought as a Pesach. Im Shachtam L'shem Pesach Bizmano. If you shech the Shlamim for a Pesach in the Zman of Pesach, then certainly they should be pasul. A Pesach, in essence, is a subset of Shlamim. It can be converted into a Shlamim. Despite that fact, when you take the Pesach during its man and make it into a Shlamim, it's pasul. So then, a Shlamim, which never can be made into a Korban Pesach, it never turns into a Korban Pesach, then certainly a Shlamim that's brought the same Pesach, Bizman Pesach, should be problematic. A Pesach that turns into a Shlamim, you can't turn it into a Shlamim during that time. And a Shlamim that never becomes a Pesach, certainly you can't turn it into a Pesach at that time. So that's why it would be Pasul. That's the logic. Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua, matzino motar chatat ba'ola, vein motar ola ba'chatat. Wait a minute, you can distinguish there. A motar chatat, a leftover chatat, is brought as an ola, which is what we discussed earlier in the perek. The same is true by a motar asham, that you also bring them as an ola. Now, a chatat in general, if it's kapru balav, if the chatat where the balim already got kapara, or metu the balim, the din of the chatat in that case is the mita. The rare exceptions are in a case either where the person was mafrish a chatat la'achrayut, he separated out two chataot, and then he brought one of them as a chatat, so the other one is unnecessary, that is a motar chatat, that motar chatat is brought as an ola. Or in a case where you took out money to purchase your chatat, and you had excess money. It was more than you needed to purchase the chatat. That excess money is brought as an ola. So here you have a motor chatat is brought as an ola. Vein motor ola ba chatat, a leftover and excess ola is never brought as a chatat. Now, based on your logic, ma chatat shemotra ba ola, shakta l'shem ola psula, a chatat, where it can be converted into ola, it has aspects of it that can turn into an ola. Nevertheless, if you bring a chatat to shem ola, it is psula, because that is shalo lishma. Ola she'ein motra b'chatat. An ola that never turns into a chatat. Shachata l'shem chatat. Enu din shetei psula. Then if you shecht an ola l'shem chatat, it certainly should be psula. That is the carry through from your logic, Rabbi Eliezer. And then it would turn out that an ola shalo lishma would be problematic. Amr lo, Rabbi Eliezer, lo. So now, what you see from this is, Rabbi Eliezer does not disagree with that point of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer could have disagreed and said, Ein hochanami. En olah l'shem chatat is psula. And that would equate to Yosef ben Choni's position that when you do a chatat and a pesach lo lishman, problematic. If you do any other korban, l'shem, a pesach or chatat, they're also problematic. And then you could have answered, Ein hochanami. That is true. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't answer that way. The fact that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't answer the way shows you that he believes that it's only true by the Pesach. Other korbanot brought the shem Pesach bizmano are problematic. Chatat, if you bring other korbanot the shem chatat, that is not problematic. And that would support Rabbah's position that they only agree with regards to the korban of Pesach. By chatat, they disagree. Because Yosef ben Choni says that if you bring another korban the shem chatat, sula. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer says you bring other korbanot the shem chatat, that is ksheira. And given it's that so clear in the Braita that that's the effect, that's what also precipitated the Rabbeinu Tam to say that that other Girsa makes sense, that Rabba and Rabbi Yochanan are arguing, because Rabba's position is very much upheld by what is said here in the latter part of the Braita. So then how does Rabbi Eliezer fend off this claim of Rabbi Yeshua? Lo im amart bechatat shekin ksheira lishma kol hashana kula. You mean a chatat, in the remainder of the year, if you bring a lishma, it's fine. Tomar ben Pesach, Sheinu kasher lishmo, ela bizmano. Pesach has a unique aspect, which is it's not kasher lishmo for the remainder of the year. It's only kasher lishmo during the zman of Pesach. Well, behu posel lishmo, dinu shipsulu acharim lishmo. For that reason, since it itself is pasul in the remainder of the year lishmo, and then only during the period of time, during the zman of Pesach, is it kasher. So that makes sense that others should become pasul also when they are brought the shema Pesach. So you see that there is a concept that Pesach itself causes a psul. So too, when you bring other korbanot, the shema Pesach, you also create a psul in the zman of Pesach. Whereas a chatat, l'shem chatat, all year round is totally fine. A chatat never has an instance where l'shem chatat, it is psula. So there's no reason to say that anything brought l'shem chatat should be problematic. And that way he distinguishes in between a chatat and a pesach. Shimon Achi Azariah Omer, so this is the latter part of the Mishnah, where Shimon Achi Azariah tells us that there's a difference between a korban that's brought shelo lishma or shelo lishma, where it's upgraded, where it would be ksheira, versus a case where you're downgrading the kedusha of the korban, where it would be psula. Rav Ashi matni mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Acha brei de Rava matni mishmei de Rabbi Yanai. So we have these in the name of different Amoraim. My time of the Shimon Achi Azariah. What is the reasoning behind Shimon Achi Azariah? If you remember from the Mishnah, the reason he's called Shimon, the brother of Azariah, is because Azariah was his working brother that supported him in his Torah. They had a partnership of Issachar Zebulun, and therefore the Torah of Shimon is known by his brother who provided the financial support for him. So that's why he's called Shimon Achi Azariah. Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, this week's Parsha, V'lo yichalulu et kodshei b'nei Yisrael, Asher yarimu l'Hashem. They should not be tamei, so that they are not profaning the kodoshim of Bnei Israel. Asher yarimu l'Hashem, that they separate out to Hashem. Bimuram mehem ein mitchalalim. When it is elevated, they're not profaned. Benamuch mehem mitchalalim. On the other hand, if it's a downgrade, they are mitchalel. So he's playing on the word yarimu, which means that lo yichalulu. When will they not be profaned? Asher yarimu l'Hashem, if they are upgraded. So when you have an upgrade in the Kedusha, then they're not profane. On the other hand, if there is a downgrade, then they would be profane. That's what that pasuk's coming about. Don't we need it for Shmuel? Which is that the pasuk is speaking about Tevel and Truma, and that's the way that the Chachamim darshan the pasuk, not dealing with Kodoshim, but rather dealing with Truma and Tevel. How do you know that someone who consumes Tevel is Chayav Mita? So that they do not profane the Kodashim of Bnei Israel. Asher Yarimu L'Hashem. Bi'atidim Litrom. Patu Medaber. From something that in the future will have something taken off of that. That's what the pasuk is speaking about. Meaning that what is an item that in the future will have something removed from it that will make it kasher, or then release it from its restriction? That's Tevel. Tevel that has Truma, that will be taken off of it in the future. That removal of Truma means makshirit, no longer to be Tevel. But as long as the Truma is still embedded in it, that Tevel is problematic, because it says Sher Yarimu, something that in the future will have it taken off, which is now Tevel. If you consume it, it will result in a Mita Bidei Shemaim. And the pasuk itself says nothing about Mita Bidei Shemaim. Pasuk just says, v'lo yichalulu. The reason it's speaking about mita b'day shemayim is because they have a gzera shava of chilulu to truma. And from that gzera shava, we know that by truma, there's a chiyuv of mita b'day shemayim if you consume truma. And so that chilulu, because of metu boki yichaluluhu, which is written by truma, the chalulu over here, they also associate with the mita b'day shemayim. Where it says, im kein lichtob kara, asher huormu. If he had written the word asher humu, then it would have made sense to say that it's only speaking about the kodoshim. But other than my asher yarimu, why is it written in the future tense? Shmamina tarte. So there you can learn two things out of the pasuk. You can both learn out the fact that when you elevate kodoshim, which is the pashtura pasuk that's speaking about kodoshim, then when you elevate them, they will remain in their kedusha. If you downgrade them, they will not. On the other hand, it also says yarimu in the future. So that future tense of Yerimimu tells you it's not just speaking about Korbanot, it's also speaking about Tevel, which has Truma that will be taken off of it in the future. And that teaches you the other din, which is that if you consume Tevel that has Truma still embedded in it, then your Chayav Mita Bidei Shemayim is similar to Truma itself that is consumed by a Zar that has a Mita Bidei Shemayim. The reason the Gemara didn't ask the other way around, which is to say the whole pasuk speaking about Tevel and not about Kodashim, is because, as you're noting, the Pashtura Pasuk is it's speaking about Kodshei B'nei Yisrael. So the natural way to interpret the Pasuk is that it's speaking about Kodashim. You have to bring a reason to tell me that you're also going to be Doresh Tevel from it, because Tevel is out of context. So that's why you need an additional limit or some indication here that there is something more to the pasuk than simply speaking about kodoshim. You can see that in the Shita Mekubetzet Ola Aleph, where it says, "Vim tomar veim akulo kra lekedishmo hodata kedemashma sheyarimu." What do you need Kodshei B'nei Yisrael? So it's clear that the Kodshei B'nei Yisrael are the main topic of the Pasuk. And then the Shita Mekubetzet also notes or adds in the fact that we used the Pasuk of Lo Yechalalu before to tell you that Kodshim Mechalalim Kodshim. Chulin are not Mechalel Kodoshim. And Tosfo back on Bet Amud Aleph said the exact same thing. That's written out from the fact that the Pasuk says Lo Yechalalu et Kodshei B'nei Yisrael rather than Lo Yechalalu Kodesh. So why does it say Kodshei rather than Kodesh? That teaches you that only Kodoshim are Mechalalim Kodoshim and not Chulin are Mechalel Kodoshim. Now, by Rabbi Zeira. Zeira now asks, Ksherim Ve'ein Meratzim, when Shimon Achi Azariah says that they are Ksherim when you upgrade them, does that mean they're Ksherim but Ein Olim Lebalim? V'chi Polik B'chado Polik? And he's only arguing on the Chachamim about one issue, which is that if you downgrade it, it'll be Pasul. But in an upgrade, it is Kasher, but Kasher in the same way the Chachamim or the Tanakhama says Kasher, which means Kasher below Alu Lebalim. Odilma Ksherim Umiratzim. Or maybe he means when they upgraded them, Ksherim means Ksherim the Gamre. Means that not only is it Kasher, but it's Alu Lebalim. Ubitarte Plige. And in that way, he's arguing on the Chachamim in two issues. Number one is if you downgrade it, it is Pasul. Whereas the Chachamim say that it is kasher below alu debalim. On the other hand, he'll also argue when they upgrade, because the upgrade he'll say is kasher and miratzeh. Whereas the Chachamim say that when you do lo lishmo, it is kasher velo miratzeh. So he's arguing on both points over here. Even though it'll turn out to be a little bit strange, which is that his kasher means kasher the gamre, and his pasul means pasul the gamre. You could have possibly read that when he says you upgraded it, it's Ksherim Umiratzim, that it's Kasher Legamre. And when he says when you downgraded it, it's Pasul, it could have meant that it's Pasul Lebalim, but it is still Kasher in terms of its ability we put on the Mizbeah. Because then you could say the Pasul is in opposition to the Kasher. If the Kasher means Kasher Legamre, Pasul doesn't mean Pasul Legamre. Pasul means that you can't do what the upgrade does. The upgrade makes it totally Kasher. Downgrade makes it that it's okay to go on the Mizbeach, lo da abu lebalim. Gemara doesn't do that. You can see that in the Shita Mekubetzet, Obet, where he says, Dilma lo pligi, elaboration, tanik shirim. Aval b'seifa lo pali klal. Bak tanik psulim, etzoramad lo psulim de gamre. Elakamo psulim de gabe toda. Kedeperish rashi de el, antav zayin amad aleph. Benira, came into napkale mi chilul. So that's the source for his position as the word chilul, mashma de psulim de gamre. Therefore, the word chilul and lo yichalalu is a word that seems to mean chilul or complete profaning of the item, where it has no kashrut or association with kashrut with it, and that's why we would say that it is pasul the gamre. And Tosfo back on Bet Amud Aleph said the exact same thing, although the Tosfo does add an additional nimuk, which is that Bechor and Masera mentioned there. And if you say pasul means psulim v'alu debalim, there's no such concept by Bechor and Masera, because there's no Alul Balim in those instances. So therefore, psul must be complete psul, even though our Gemara itself tried to do that with Ksherim and rejected that because that might just be a problem of necessity. Psul may mean psul v'alul balim, where balim are relevant. And therefore, you'll be kasher the gamre on the upgrade and psul the gamre on the downgrade. Amar Abaye v'itei merabzika tashma. Let us look at the examples that he brings. Ha'bechor v'maser sheshachtam l'shem shlamim ksherim. You take a Bechor and a Maser, which are the lower form of Kodshim Kalim, and upgrade them to a Shlamim, which is your main category of Kodshim Kalim. Shlamim, Shishaktam, L'shem Bechor, or L'shem Maser, Psulim. But in reverse, take a Shlamim, which is your mainstay Kodshim Kalim, and downgrade it to a Bechor or a Maser, they are Psulim. If you think that he meant Ksherim Miratzim, Bechor by Ritzuyu, a Bechor doesn't have any Ritzuy. Bechor has nothing to do with the Baalim. All Bechor is, it's got to end up in the Mizbeach, and it's eaten by the Kohanim. There's no Baalim associated with a Bechor. Ela Ksherim Ve'ein Meratzim. It must be that part of the Mishnah, where he gives that description, when he says Kasher, means Kasher, but not Meratzeh, because Meratzeh is not relevant. Omer de Seifa Ksherim Ve'ein Meratzim, Reishanami Ksherim Ve'ein Meratzim. So if the Seifa case is a case of Kasher, and Kasher means their Kasher, but lo alu the Baalim, so to the Reisha case, with the Kodshei Kodoshim, Kodshim Kalim to Kodshei Kodoshim, same thing, the kasher there should be kasher v'ein miratzim. It says midiria. Hadagita, vadagita. Doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, because how can you prove something where it's not relevant to something where it is relevant? The reason it's kasher v'ein miratzim in the case of Bechor is because it's just not relevant. But it's kasher as full extent it could be under those circumstances. Say the same thing in the ratio. It's kasher to the fullest extent. That will include alu lebalim there. Doesn't mean that ein miratzeh isn't indicated by the second half. It just means that it's not relevant in the second half. Elamai kamash malan, gavoa v'namuch. So then why did it write the second example in the Mishnah? To teach you that there's a difference between a korban that's brought shalo lishma or shalo lishma where it's upgraded, where it would be ksheira, versus a case where you're downgrading the kedusha of the korban where it would be psula. That's what you're coming to teach us. Tanina. That's already found in the Mishnah. Ketzad kodshei kodashim sheshaftam l'shem kodshim kalim. He already brought an example of upgrade and downgrade, which is from kodshei kodashim to kodshim kalim and kodshim kalim to kodshei kodashim. Why does he need a second example? Why does he bring two examples over there? It's extraneous, and therefore maybe it's really coming to teach you kesherim vein miratzim. So ma'od teima kodshei kodashim kodshim kalim hudika gavoa v'namuch. That's because you might have thought that differentiation is only when you move from category to category. From Kodshei Kodashim to Kodshim Kalim, or Kodshim Kalim to Kodshei Kodashim. About Kalim v'Kalim, over here where they're both Kodshim Kalim, maybe that's not a differentiation. No, then it wouldn't be the case. So Hanami Tanina, that we know in the Mishnah later on in the Masechta. There is a hierarchy that is listed in the Mishnah later on in the Masechta that tells you which Korban goes first or which Korban is more Kadosh than the other Korban. Shlamim Kodmim et HaBachor Mipnei Shein Tuini Matan Arba. The Shlamim requires four Matanot on the Mizbeach. And if a Bechor only has a single matan dam, or shvicha dam on the Mizbeach, smicha, nisachim, and libations, utnufa chazeh v'shok, and the wave offering of the chazeh v'shok. It has so much more involved with it that it's more kadosh than the Bechor. And in that hierarchy, it makes it clear that shlamim go before a Bechor. And therefore, you see already that there's a differentiation between them. Why do you need this Mishnah to tell you that? So, ha, ikar, how a grand asbol. Our Mishnah over here, in the beginning of the Sefta, that's the main one. That's telling you there's a differentiation between Shlamim and Bechor and Maser. That Shlamim and Bechor and Maser are not on the same level. The Mishnah later on, well, it was giving you a list of hierarchy. Once it got into the list, it needed to list everything. So we included this. Even though we know it already from this Mishnah, it tells you it again because it's giving you the hierarchy and it wants to do it from top to bottom. So repeated it. But that's why our Mishnah has it, and then you can't prove anything about what Shimon Achiazaria thinks about Ksherim, whether Ksherim is Ksherim umiratzim, whether it means Ksherim velo miratzim. We thought at first that maybe we could prove it from the upgrade of Bechor to Shlamim, because by definition, Bechor is not in the category of Ein Miratzim. Gemara says you can't say that because of the fact that it's not relevant. It's not relevant, you can't say anything about the Ksherim. Maybe Ksherim means totally Kasher. In the ratio, you'll say the same thing, totally Kasher. That's different meanings in each context. Gemara said, well then, why did it write Bechor and Maser versus Shlamim in the latter half of the Mishnah? Why did it differentiate between them? To teach you if you upgrade and downgrade, that we already know from the ratio of the Mishnah, from the Kodshim Kalim to Kodshei Kodashim and vice versa. So Gemara says, no, it's to teach you even within Kodshim Kalim, there are gradations. Gemara says, you don't need that, you have a Mishnah later on that tells you that information. Gemara says, no, that Mishnah later on is copying what's said in this Mishnah. This Mishnah is the Ikar to teach you that din. Because had it been that that din was already known somewhere else, then you could have said, why did Rabbi Shimon Achiazariah bring the second din of Bechor versus Shlamim? That's to come to teach you Ksherim Ve'ein Miratzim, because that's the din of Bechor. And that extraneous case would have taught you that. But now we say it's not the extraneous case, because this is the source for the fact that there is a distinction between Kodshim Kalim Shlamim and Bechor and Maser. Why it's brought later in the Masechta is just because there it wants to give you a comprehensive list, not because the din is brought there in the first place. Based on this question, it's pretty clear that Shimon Achiazaria agrees with the Tanakhama with regards to a chatat, that if you upgrade a chatat, it still would be problematic, shelo lishma, because otherwise that would always be a difference between Shimon Achiazaria and the Tanakhama. Whether you say kasher miratzim or kasher v'ein miratzim, if a chatat would be good, that'd be a differentiation from the Tanakhama always. So it must be that he views that a chatat has the same din as the Tanakhama, and that would also imply that he thinks the same thing with regards to a korban of Pesach. Shlo lishmo,
Bizmano would be problematic, even if it was an upgrade. That also seems to be the case from the Balei Tosafot on Bet Amud Aleph, Divrei Matzkel L'Shem, where he also says that even according to Shimon Achi Azariah, that a Pesach and a Chatat would be psulim. Although the Keren Arah wants to say it's really dependent on this question of Rabbi Zeira as to whether Kesherim Ibratzim, where then that would include a Chatat, which would also be Kshera, versus Kshera Ve'en Miratzim, where a Chatat would be psula, even for an upgrade. Okay, next Mishnah. Pesach, Shishachato Shacharit Vavasar Shalo Lishmo. Bring a Korban at Pesach, Lo Lishmo, on the morning of the 14th. Rabbi Shua Makshir. Rabbi Shua says it's kasher, ki'ilu nishkat b'shlosha asar. It's no different than a Pesach being brought all year long. When you bring it shlo lishmo, it's fine, so it'll turn into a shlamim. So too, on the morning of the 14th, when it's not the zman of Pesach, the same thing happens. You do a Pesach shlo lishmo, it turns into a shlamim. Ben petera posel. Peya says, you shecht up lishmo on the morning of the 14th, ki'ilu nishkat ben harabayim. It's the same as shechting it in the afternoon. Checked in the morning of the 14th, no different than checking in the afternoon. That's a Pesach Shalo Lishmo Bizmano, which is Pasul. Amar Shimon Ben Azai, Mikubal Ani Mipi Shivim Ushnaim Zakein. I have a Kabbalah from the 72 Zakenim. B'yom Shul Shivu et Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah B'Shiva. On the day that they appointed Rabbi Elazar Ben Azariah to be the head of the Yeshiva in Yavne. First of all, this is a separate din from what we said before. It's a totally different issue. That's number one. Number two is, the Gemara is referencing to the day on which Rabban Gamliel was deposed because of his mistreatment of Rabbi Yoshua. And that is brought in the Gemara in Brachot, and Chavzayin and Chavchet describes the whole process there in detail. On that day, they opened up the doors to the Beit Midrash, and they were flooded with Chachamim, because Rabbi Gamliel had only allowed in someone who's Tocho Kibaro, or somebody who was a pure Talmud Chacham. That day they let everybody in. And the Gemara tells us that Masechet Ediot, all the Masechet Ediot was taught on that day, because they had so many Chachamim there, they were able to get clarity and bring down all these Mishnayot. So this seems to be akin to that case of Ediot, which is this halacha was clarified on that day. The question as to why it says Shivim Ushnaim Zakein is not clear here, whether that was the construct of the Beit Din or the Sanhedrin in Yavne, which was they were 72 people, which means that there were 71, which is your standard Beit Din. And then you had the Muflash of a Beit Din, which we've discussed a number of times, whether the Muflash of a Beit Din is actually a member of the Sanhedrin itself, or he is someone who presides over the Sanhedrin, but is not a member of the Sanhedrin. So this would be more evidence of the fact that he's separate from it, and that's why there's Shivim Ushnayim. Although there's someone who wants to suggest that the Gemara in Brachot says that there was so much Torah in that Rabbi Gamliel on that day did not hold himself back from coming to the Beit Midrash. Meaning that even though he was deposed as the Nasi, he still came to the Beit Midrash on that day. So that's how you get to the 72. You had the 71 of the Sanhedrin, and Rabbi Gamliel had been deposed, still showed up in the Beit in that day. So that's why you have 72 people that were roi for the Beit, because it includes Rabbi Gamliel had been deposed. So those are two ways to get to this number of 72. But nevertheless, that's what he says in the name of the 72 Zakenim. Shkolas vachim hanechalim. Any zebach that is eaten is consumed. Shiniz bechush lo lishman ksherim. That are brought as a korban lo lishmo kasher. Ela shlo alu lebalim mishum chova. But they do not discharge the obligation of the balim. Chutz min haPesach u min haChatat. Those are two korbanot that are eaten. Nevertheless, if you do them lo lishmo, they're actually psulim, akin to what we saw in our Mishnah, that Chatat and Pesach are lo lishmo. And the Mishnah concludes, Lo Hosif Ben Azai, Elo Ola. The only thing Ben Azai argues on versus our Mishnah, the beginning of the Masechta, is the fact that an Ola is Psula Shlo Dishma, Lo Hodu Lo Chachamim. The Chachamim disagree with him, meaning that the only thing he says is all Korbanot that are eaten, Shlo Dishma Sheirim, whereas an Ola which is not eaten, Lo Dishma would be Psula. So that's the only distinction he makes between his position and the Chachamim's position, is he adds in Ola to the list of Korbanot that are Psulim, meaning Chatat, Pesach, and an Ola that are done lo lishman would be problematic. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Shaya, Machshir haya ben Petera b'Pesach, Shishachato Shacharit Barbasar Lishmo, Tukule Yomo Zimnehu. Ben Petera is not just arguing like you would have thought possibly and saying, since part of the day is kosher, therefore the whole day is considered to be problematic if you do it l'shem Pesach, but he is fundamentally arguing and saying, The entire day of the 14th is kosher the Korban HaPesach. You don't have to bring the Korban HaPesach in the afternoon. You can bring the Korban HaPesach even in the morning. Since you can bring a Korban HaPesach all day, then a Pesach Shalom Lishmo in the morning is going to be problematic, because that Pesach Bizmano, Shalom Lishmo, Umay Ki'ilu. Wait a minute. Then why does it say, it says if? Ben Beter says it's Pasul, because it's as if you brought in the afternoon of the 14th. That implies that the afternoon of the 14th is the real Zman, and in the morning it's Ki'ilu. It's as if you brought it on the afternoon of the 14th. He should have said it is, you're bringing it on the 14th. That's what it is. Aydi Damar Rabbi Yeshua Ki'ilu, Amar Yehu Nami Ki'ilu. It's a parallel structure. It is because of the literary style, which is Rabbi Yeshua said to him that the morning of the 14th is like being brought on the 13th. So he just said back to him, no, the morning of the 14th is like being brought in the afternoon. But it's not like, it is being brought on the 14th, because that is the Zman HaPesach. Then the Mishnah, why are they arguing in Lo Lishmo? Arguing Lishmo. If you bring a Korban Pesach Lishmo in the morning of the 14th, according to Ben Peter, that's a kosher Pesach. As opposed to Rabbi Yeshua thinks that'll be a Pesach that is Pasul. That's a Pesach Lishmo, Shlo Bizmano, which is Pasul. If the Gobel Lishmo, had they argued in the din of Lishmo, Hava Mina, Hava B'Shlo Lishmo, Moda Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beteiro. I would have thought that if they argued in Lishmo, then that's because Ben Beteiro thinks the whole day is kosher for Pesach. Rabbi Yeshua thinks, no, it's only the afternoon that it's kosher for Pesach. And that's why Lishmo doesn't work for me in the morning. But below Lishmo, Rabbi Yeshua would agree to Ben Peteira, whole Mixato Ra'oi, since half the day is Ra'oi for Pesach, therefore the whole day is like it's Zman HaPesach. If you bring the Pesach Shlo Lishmo in the morning, then that would be problematic for the Pesach, because it's a day of the Pesach. Even though you can't bring it in the morning, since it's the day that belongs to Pesach, that's considered to be like Pesach Bizmano. And therefore if you bring the Pesach Shlo Lishmo in the morning, it won't turn into a Shlamim, it will be a Pesach that is Pasul. Kamash Malan, then that's not the case, and that's why we brought the case of Lo Lishmo. So then the Bali Tosfot would say, well, if you bring just the case of Lo Lishmo, you might make a mistake and think that Ben Peteira thinks that way. Which is that only because it's called the day of Pesach is it Zmano, but not really because he believes that the whole day of the 14th you can bring a Korban of Pesach. Tosfot says, that's not such a bad mistake. Ben Peteira is a dat yachid that thinks that in the morning you can bring a Korban Pesach. Even if you make that mistake, it's not going to change the din with regards to the morning, because we don't hold like Ben Peteira anyway. So that's a mistake we're willing to accept if you make that mistake. We're not willing to accept is the reverse case, where according to Rabbi Yeshua, you might think that he thinks that if you brought a Pesach Shlo Lishmo in the morning, that it'd be Pasul. So that's why we brought in the Lo Lishmo and not the Shmo case. Vakti Ben Arabayim. The most obvious question on Ben Peteira is, the words Ben Arabayim appear by the Korban HaPesach, which means in the afternoon. Amar Ula Breit Rabbi Eli Ben Shnei Aravim. Yeah, Ben Arabayim means between the two evenings. That's the way Rashi on Chumash actually explains Ben Arabayim. He says it's between the two evenings. That's because at noon, after you get to the noon time, that's the beginning of Erev. Meaning that darkness starts to spread, the shadows start to extend. That's the first Erev. The next Erev is when the sun is gone and it's nightfall. That's Ben Arabayim. So all that Ben Peteira says is, well, I don't think that when the sun moves off past Chatzot, that's called Erev. Erev means the night before. So it means that Ben Arabayim means between last night and tonight. It means the whole day that's in between. So Tami Dichtibe Ben Arabayim Hochanami Dekula Yoma Kasher. So now you're going to say Ben Arabayim means between last night and tonight. Then in the case of the Korban Tamid, you're being a Keves Echad Baboker, Ben Keves Hashini Ben Arabayim. You're going to tell me that that second keves means you can bring it all day? So the Gemara says, no. Hotam yachtivit keves echad taseba boker. One keves you bring in the morning. The Shita Mekubetzet over here wants to change it to it. The keves ha-echad taseba boker. That really depends on whether they're quoting the pasuk from Parshat Titzaveh, where it says, it's a keves ha-echad taseba boker, veta ha-keves ha-sheni taseba ben arbayim. Or if they're quoting it from Parshat Pinchas, where it's a keves echad taseba boker, veta keves ha-sheni taseba ben arbayim. Whether there's a hey, a yediyah on the ha-echad. In Parshat Tetzaveh it does exist. In Parshat Pinchas it doesn't exist. Michlal de ben arbayim amash. That means that ben arbayim is in contrast to boker, which must mean that it means afternoon. Someone says, why do you have to say that? Ema chai baboker. Say one of the korbanai tamid is brought in the morning. That's baboker. Ida kule yoma. The other one you can bring all day. You can bring it in the morning or you can bring it in the afternoon. So the Gemara says, no, echad baboker velo shnai baboker. That's because it says a keves echad baboker. One in the morning, not two in the morning. So that's why the Ben Arabayim here must be literally Ben Arabayim and the afternoon. Even though Ben Arabayim could have meant all day, The pasuk forces you to say that it's referring to the afternoon because there's an exclusive term about Echad Baboker. Neirot. What about Adlakat Neirot? If they're Ben Arabayim. Because the pasuk says, V'alot Aron et Neirot Ben Arabayim. Yakti Rena Ketorah Tamid Lifnei Hashem Ketorah Teichem. Also over there, it says that you do the Neirot Ben Arabayim. Hachanami Tekula Yom HaKasher. Now you can tell me all day long is good for lighting the candles. Shani Otam Tichtim Mi Erev Ad Boker. Because it says, Bo Moed Michutz LaParoch HaRasher Leidud Yeroch Oto Arom Vanam Mi Erev Ad Boker. Ne Hashem Chukat Olam LaDorotam Mi Eid Bnei Yisrael. You see, Mi Erev Ad Boker is the time period for the lighting of the menorah. Tanya, Mi Erev Ad Boker. Ten la midatash deleket olechet mi erevat boker. You have to put sufficient oil in the lamps of the menorah so that they will last all night. And as Rashi notes over here, chamim shi aru, chamim measured out how much that is. And that is a chatzi log. It's half a log because the nights are different throughout the year. So the longest night is the winter solstice. And on that night, a chatzi log would carry you through the whole night. And therefore, every night they put in a chatzi log. So on the longest nights, it would last overnight. On the shorter nights, it would last somewhat into the day. It would continue burning into the day, which we're okay with. You can see in the Yeshita Mekubetzet, in Ot Yudzayin, he brings from the Yushalmi, that they used to use thicker wicks on those days where they wanted to use up the oil faster. Which means that on the Tkufat Tevet, on the winter solstice, the longest night, they put a thin wick with a chatzi log of oil. On the opposite time of the year, the summer solstice, we have the shortest night, they put a thick wick in there with the same amount of oil, but it would burn the oil off faster because the wick was drawing faster, more oil, and therefore you'd end up with the result of it burning equally. So you have a chatzi log shemen and you just move around the thickness of the wicks. But if you kept them steady, and that's the way Rashi explains it over here, you just have times of the year where it would burn into the daytime itself, and we're not worried about that. Devar acher, in the chavudak shira mi'ervet boker lezo bilvad. There's no other avodah that is kasher from night until the morning, with the exception of this. Meaning that this is the last avodah that is done in the Mikdash on a daily basis. Telling me that it's going to be kol hayom, that can't be the case here because of me'erev ad boker. To teach you that this is kasher right by nightfall, going overnight, now that it is done all day. Torah dikti ben arabayim. What about the fact that also over there it says that the Ketoret is brought ben arabayim? Hakanami the kula yoma kasher. So too there, the Ketoret's going to be kasher all day. Shani Ketoret, deitkish l'neirot. Because it says, uvalot aron et neirot ben arabayim yakti rana. Ketoret tamid ifnei Hashem l'dorotechem. Because over there, there's a hekish between the neirot, meaning that in Parshat Tetzaveh, when it brings the neirot and the Ketoret, it brings them in the same pasuk. And just like the Neirot are only Kasherim at nighttime or near nightfall in the afternoon, so too the Ketoret is also only Kasher at the same time that you light the Neirot, that's when you bring the Ketoret. And so even though, yes, maybe Ben Arbaim in all these instances would have meant all day, but in each of these cases you have a specific miut that tells you don't do it all day because there's something unique about it. Whether Korban Tamid says Echad Baboker, over here by the Neirot where it says Me'erev Ad Boker, and the Ketoret, which is compared to the Neirot, which is also governed then by Mi'erev Ad Boker. Okay, we stop here for the top line of Yud Bet Amud Aleph.